Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on this Thursday, June 5th, 2014, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Yes, there is another excessive heat advisory. That's like four or five straight days in a row. I can't ever remember living here in Tucson for 26 years where we've had this kind of heat so early in June. Let's hope it might kind of fire up the monsoon. Maybe the monsoon will come early. We have a full agenda as usual. Ramon Valadez, District 2, Pima County Supervisor, a Democrat, will be our leadoff guest. Then Randy Sariglio. He is the Southwest Conservation Advocate for the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity. We have a couple of issues to talk with Randy about, Rosemont, and we'll also talk about the bighorn sheep situation. Then Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show contributor, our legal affairs contributor, will join us to close out the show. But with me in studio to get the ball rolling, District 2 Supervisor Ramon Valadez. Supervisor Valadez, how are you today?
Bill, I'm wonderful. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
How do you stay cool?
You stay indoors a lot.
Okay. Yeah, run from the air conditioning to the air conditioned car.
And when you walk to different places, just make sure they're on the block over.
Yeah. Kind of keep it close from air conditioning to air conditioning. Pima County, the Board of Supervisors, you and your colleagues will get together to examine the budget document. The fiscal budget for Pima County will begin on July 1st. This is the spending plan for 12 months. Final approval is expected at the June 20th meeting. How would you characterize this document?
Actually, it's June 17th.
Oh, excuse me.
You know what? What we've done, I've brought a few of the documents with me, but over the last several years, what we've done is we've tried to tighten our belts as much as we possibly could. We went from a budget of $1.482 billion in fiscal year 07-08 to the tentative proposed budget is a $1.188 billion budget.
So for those who say the Pima County is just so fat and all they do is spend, you would say?
You know what? We recognize that that's not good for our community, that's not good for our economy, and we try to be good team players.
Now, I looked at some of the numbers, and you've got quite a few charts here in front of you about the situation with property taxes. How would you characterize that?
You know, I would tell you, first of all, that every politician, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter, loves voting for tax cuts. We love it. It's our bread and butter. The truth is that what has happened is that we've absorbed about 17% of our drop in assessed value. That's the overall value of property in Pima County has dropped 17 to 18% since 2007-2008. We're probably expecting another 7 or 8% further drop. As I outlined today in our previous numbers, we've tightened our belt as much as we can. At this point, we're starting to see an economic recovery. We're trying to not deaden that, trying not to hurt that recovery, but we are going to need to increase property tax rates above last year. What we've also seen is that while the rate, remember, what we pay in property tax or the levy is the rate times the assessed value of Pima County.
Okay.
What we've seen is that the assessed value has dropped at a much higher rate than what we could have really have initially indicated. If you look at when the RTC happened or previous recessions, we've never seen a drop in assessed value like this one ever before.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying the total value of the assessed property in Pima County really dropped?
Oh, tremendously.
Yeah. In other words, what this county is worth, I guess, kind of bottom line.
Right. Yeah. Right. So the levy that we collect in property taxes, both in the primary and the secondary, has also dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, what we tried to do is try to equate it so that it wouldn't drop too much further, so it would stay level. And sadly, it continued to drop in the current fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're looking at potentially is a raise in the rate. But potentially what we're looking at is we had some of our budgetary officers look at what that meant and to calculate it based on inflation going back a number of years. But what we're looking at, the tentative budget, if we adopt all 9 decision packages, is today in the current fiscal year, the inflation adjusted for the total property tax levy per capita is about $392 roughly.
Hmm.
And it would go up to about $426, $427. So that's what we're looking at if we adopt a final budget adoption. If we adopt the final budget adoption includes all 9 decision packages.
To the Buckmaster Show live line, Roger has a question about property taxes. Go ahead, Roger. You're with Supervisor Ramon Valadez.
Yeah, you say how the property values have dropped a certain percentage. Do you got documentation you can provide that shows that you have reduced an income? And what have you done to reduce spending? Businesses are taking in less money. People's pay is less. But we don't go out and build buildings for the U of A. We don't build a new doggy shelter. We cut our spending to fix that. Now, if the property values, say, go back up, are you writing in this increase that you'll drop that increase appropriately?
Okay.
Or is this going to be all profit?
All right,
when the property values go back up.
Thank you, Roger. Here's Ramon Valadez.
Thank you, Roger. Yes, as a matter of fact, all the charts, all the memos that display exactly what I'm talking about in terms of the tightening of our belts that we've done over the last number of years is available online on our website at www.pima.gov under the budget. So you can look them up as many as you'd like. Furthermore, what we in Pima County have done historically, when we were seeing the opposite of what has occurred since 2007, 2008, before then, we were seeing an increase. So what we did, again, we tend to try and not get in the way, try not to dampen the economy. We lowered the rate so that it would have the exact opposite effect of what we're doing right now. We simply don't like the idea of overdoing the property taxes. We try and run as lean an operation as we can, and based on the charts that I said are available online on www.pima.gov, I think you can see that as well.
Now, for the average homeowner, what does the property tax increase? I mean, I try to put a little money aside every month, so I'm not slammed when it's time to pay the property tax. So what are we talking about on average here?
Well, as I said, the per capita inflation adjusted primary property tax levy that should be online already on www.pima.gov indicates when we adjust it for inflation, last year's rate was about 392. Assuming that the final budget adoption is adopted on the 17th, it can go to up per capita to about 426, 427.
Mm-hmm. So that's I don't know what the percentage of that would be, but you're saying it would be very minimal.
There will be an increase, and we're very conscious of trying to keep it as small as possible.
All right, to the Buckmaster Show live line. Josh, you are up next with Supervisor Valadez.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing well. Thanks for calling, Josh.
Quick question for you, Supervisor. You said that property values are dropping. Do you take any responsibility for that with the way the roads are, the fighting of the mind, the anti-business tactics? Do the supervisors have any responsibility for property values dropping?
Well, I'll tell you what, Josh, thank you for calling and thank you for your question. I would tell you that we're seeing this phenomenon all over Arizona, all over the nation. Did we contribute to that? I can't tell you that we did or we didn't. I would tell you that is a phenomenon that has occurred not just in Pima County, on all of Arizona, and frankly throughout the country, particularly in the Southwest. Our economy and the growing economy was based on is a continued growth of generally above 7%. We haven't seen that since the recession. So you take away the growth, you take away people's ability to be purchasing the homes upon which a lot of our economy was based. So did we contribute it? I don't know. I can't answer the question. We try not to. But that's the best answer I can give you on that one.
All right, 790-2040. We're going to change topics after the break. But before we do take the break, Rose, there was a quick question that came in from Noah on our Facebook page. And Noah wondered about, you are one of three supervisors who represent Sahorita. It's kind of odd that Sahorita has three supervisors just by the way the districts are aligned. But Noah wonders, would you be considering a town hall for Sahorita?
You know, earlier this year when the library issue had come up, we were looking at the possibility, frankly, because of actions of the legislature, that we were going to have to close the library. We had a small town hall on that issue. I would absolutely be willing to have a town hall, and if Noah is willing to give me a call, I'll make sure he knows when we're going to hold the town hall, and certainly look forward to it.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, Pima County looking to buy some acreage for soccer fields. Actually, if this goes through, Pima County and Tucson could be the soccer capital of the Southwest. We'll be right back.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanque Verde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of our program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You talk about a great weekend getaway when the temperatures here have been 110 degrees. Hey, take a trip over to Silver City if you're looking to cool off. Elevation over there is about a mile high, up to 7,000 feet in the lovely little community of Pinos Altos, which is just north of Silver City. Check it out, and it's a nice road trip. You'll get up there, enjoy the cool air, a good place for the summer. They're getting ready for their big clay festival, their signature event, everything to do with ceramics. That's the weekend of July 31st. Great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de la Gila. And you can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Ramon Valadez, Pima County Supervisor, Democrat District 2, with me in studio. We spent the first portion of the interview talking about the budget and property taxes, but let's talk about something. It's been on the front page of the paper today, that Pima County is looking to buy 167 acres for some soccer fields. This is very close to the Keno Sports Complex. And Supervisor, this is something you've been kind of involved with for years, looking at that property.
You know, it's fair to call it that this has been a dream for the last about the 6 or 8 years for me. The original site that we had, were going to look at, where was where Southgate was located on I-10 and 6th Avenue, but unfortunately when the property was sold to Red Mountain and Curacao went in there, we lost a potential location for it. A few years went by, and one day I was driving by this site and said, I think that might work. Chuck and I talked about it. We talked to staff. We had people investigate. Unfortunately, the owners of the property at that time didn't want to sell. They were going to ride out the recession. So we said, okay, we'll part amiably. We'll check periodically. I've had friends check with them every so often. And earlier this year, when we were talking about the Rito racetrack, the horse track, while we were having the discussion, it just occurred to me in my head that day was a good day to have staff follow up with Stardust and see if today they were interested. And so immediately upon the conclusion of that board meeting, I went upstairs, talked to staff, and asked them to contact Stardust to see if they had changed their mind, because the worst answer you could get was no, and that wasn't going to hurt any.
You know, Stardust is the property. It's the developer that owns the property. And where is it now in conjunction with Keno?
It is on the other side of I-10 from the Keno Sports Park, and the intent is to have it be one complex. And what this does is it adds 19 soccer fields to the complex. With the north side of the stadium, the north side of I-10, that brings up the total number of soccer fields in the complex to 28. Which would make us the largest regional soccer center in the state of Arizona, the second largest being one in Phoenix, and even during the height of the recession, that the particular soccer field through Reach 11 tournament saw an incredible economic growth and economic contributions to the community, and I believe that we will see the same.
And you also this would mean that you would have, let's see, the total you said would be 28 if you take the existing soccer fields at Keno, and then this additional group. And then what about Rito, the conversion that's being talked about there to some soccer fields? There'd be a lot of soccer fields.
Obviously, that's a decision that the board has yet to make. So I'm not really sure how that'll play, as that'll be the decision of five individuals, of which I'm only one.
Would this be a huge economic driver, in your opinion?
Oh, I think the potential for this kind of economic driver is huge. We looked at some figures, and in the Reach 11 site in Phoenix, which is the second largest site during the peak of the recession in 2009. They reported over $149 million in direct and induced sales and a collected sales tax of $3.8 million in the height of the recession. And this facility will be even bigger than that one.
So the deal is, I guess, $8.75 million. That's what Stardust values the property. So they would want a down payment, right?
Right. The original asking price was a little above $20 million, and when we asked and have negotiated back and forth, now it's certainly a figure that we're willing to live with. The original down, or the first down payment, which we would have to make in next year's fiscal year budget, is $1.75 million.
That would come out of next year's fiscal,
correct.
Not the current budget.
Correct. Okay. And then what we would also do is there's a five installment payment to Stardust Properties.
All right. We're going to go back to the Buckmaster Show live line. Robert has a question for Supervisor Ramon Valadez, District 2. Go ahead, Robert.
Ramon, how could you possibly consider more soccer fields when you can't even keep the pools open?
Does the county have anything to do with the local swimming pools?
No, I think you're probably talking about the city pools.
Mm-hmm.
The only pools that we have that could be considered county are usually in cooperation and partnership with the YMCA, and I believe those are open.
Okay. So the pools, and I think Rose, that's right. Rose just gave me a little note here. The pools are under the Tucson Parks and Recreation Department. So when is this going to happen? Soccer field.
Well,
situation.
This proposal is has yet to be received the consideration of the board. It is going to go before the board on the final budget adoption day for consideration, I believe, on this June 17th for discussion and direction. And frankly, I think it's a wonderful idea, a wonderful concept, and we as a community, as a region, stand to benefit considerably from it if we move forward.
What about bonds? There will be a decision about bonds for 2015. Would this be involved at all in bonding?
The Bond Advisory Committee, which is the one that makes the recommendations on what's in the bond to the board, is considering this particular item. Obviously, the down payment does have to come out of general fund monies, and depending when the bond is passed or if the bond is passed and put together, subsequent payments can be made from the bond itself, as well as the improvements to create the soccer fields. Yes, right now we're potentially looking at 2015 for a bond election. But again, it's too early to tell. The Bond Advisory Committee has a lot of work to do. As usual, there's a lot more requests than there are bond monies available, and the Bond Committee, as in years past, does yeoman work in whittling down to a package that thus far our community has seen fit to support.
So there could be a bond election in 2015?
Correct.
Yeah.
That has yet to be decided, obviously, and generally what we do is we act on the Bond Advisory Committee's recommendations and generally take their advice.
So at this point, there's only one, the expansion, the proposal for the expansion of the Pima County Animal Care Center. It would be the only one that will be on the November ballot.
Correct. As you know, we had to put up a huge tent to put a lot of kennels essentially in, because we were having to put three, four, and five dogs into one kennel, and you're just asking for trouble. Mm-hmm. And so we had to do that, and the bond advisory committee listened to the public and basically gave us the recommendation that we should move forward with a 2014 bond for the Pima Animal Care Center.
Ramon Valdez, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend, and try to stay cool.
Thank you, Bill. As always, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Ramon Valdez on the Buckmaster Show. Randy Seriglio is up next. Randy is in the house from the Center for Biological Diversity. He's next right after we take this bottom of the hour break. Back with you. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. One critic dismisses today's report on GM's delayed recalls as the best report money can buy. GM hired an attorney to conduct the internal review that led to the report. GM CEO calls it brutally tough and deeply troubling. Congressional officials say they've been told that the Taliban had threatened to kill Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. That's why the Obama administration did not notify Congress about the pending deal for his release. The Senate has confirmed Sylvia Matthews Burwell to be the country's new health secretary and steward of the president's health care law. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 90 points, the NASDAQ ahead 40, and the S&P trading 11 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views, but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
Hi, this is Bert Williams with Williams & Associates. We are Arizona's largest promotional products company. Anything you put a logo on, that's us. But this isn't about me. This is about Arizona Party Rental and the team they have that makes things happen. They have everything you would ever need for a party or any event. Tents, chairs, tables, and the expertise to advise you with what you need in a timely manner. When I think of Arizona Party Rental, I think of integrity and I think of community involvement. We've used Arizona Party Rental many times. They are on time, efficient, and are a great value. I love working with Ken and his team at Arizona Party Rental. Ken can stack BBs at a 45 degree angle with gloves on.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bert. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental. Visit us online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900. Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Michael Keith will be our guest tomorrow. He's the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. He'll be our Friday Focus interview. But right now, Randy Seraglio is with us. Randy is the Southwest Conservation Advocate for the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity. A couple of items I want to address here in 9 minutes with Randy, so we'll get right at it. First of all, Randy, trying to stay cool, I assume, like everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I like this possible? Time of year, actually.
Yeah, you do like the heat.
Yeah. Only the desert rats.
There you go. First of all, the bighorn sheep situation. This was an interesting coalition that was put together. The Center for Biological Diversity joining with several other groups in this reintroduction of the bighorn in the Santa Catalina Mountains. It's been very controversial, but the good news is we have not had any more lost sheep.
Yes, we haven't had any mortalities up in the Catalinas for almost 3 months now, and we're very excited about that. And I think it's good evidence that our very targeted and limited strategy of identifying the exact mountain lion that is preying on the sheep and removing it is working. And I think we're very hopeful that moving forward we can see some success with this project.
Tell me about that coalition.
Well, it's a great new model for these kinds of wildlife management projects. You know, several conservation groups came together with folks from the sportsman community,
the hunting community,
mm-hmm. Desert Bighorn Sheep Society, and you know, we've worked out issues over the course of a year and a half, looking at all the science behind these things, and discussing and arguing and working hard to make the right decisions for the sheep. And I think so far it's working pretty well.
Do reintroductions work?
Yes, my organization supports them, especially with regard to endangered species. Bighorn, desert bighorn in Arizona are not on the endangered list now, but they certainly would have been about 50 or 60 years ago if the law had existed then. Their numbers crashed just dramatically, and they've made a really dramatic recovery since then. And the primary tool for that has been reintroductions like the one in the Catalinas.
And we're down to how many animals then holding steady?
We have at least 14 adults out there. There could be another one, but I think we have a collar malfunction or something to that effect that they've not been able to identify and reach the location. And we also have 5 lambs that have been born, and all of them are doing healthy. They've all been observed and are doing well. They all look healthy. They've been observed recently. So That also is very promising.
Randy Seraglio is with us from the Center for Biological Diversity. Your take on the situation with Rosemont. There's some legal action that came forward this week by the Save the Scenic Santa Ritas. There was also a lawsuit filed by retired scientist Joel Fisher of Green Valley.
Yes, this is a very important step. The key points in the coalition lawsuit really revolve around the fact that Rosemont's air quality modeling was just flat out bogus. They manipulated the data. They pay consultants to tell them what they want to hear. And the problem is that too often our agencies that are in place to protect public health and safety take that analysis at face value. And when that happens, it's up to the citizens to hold those agencies accountable. And there are provisions written into these laws to allow people to do that. And I think that's a very important part of our democracy.
How do you see the whole situation with the hostile takeover attempt by Toronto-based Hudbay, which is a really huge mining organization, worldwide mining organization, to take over Augusta Resources, which is the organization trying to put the Rosemont?
Well, it's funny. It's one of the few times these mining companies tell the truth is when they're criticizing each other. So it's kind of fun to watch them throw mud at each other. But Hudbay made a lowball offer. Rosemont is a tar baby. It has huge permitting hurdles that it must try to surmount, and it's obviously having a very difficult time doing that. It's the tar baby that won't go away. And so Hudbay made a lowball offer and thought they could swoop in and prey on this struggling company. We'll see if it plays out, but I think the permitting issues are still there no matter who owns the property.
7 years into the process, this really was sent back on a couple of fronts, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, recently an ocelot, which is protected under the Endangered Species Act, was photographed in the Rosemont area, and that's in addition to the jaguar and several other endangered species that are already there. And the Fish and Wildlife Service says, we need to look at this again. And another key trigger for them to withdraw their approval was a new groundwater analysis that came out showing that the drawdown on Cienega Creek would be greater than was originally thought, and that affects endangered species, but that also threatens Tucson's water supply. 20% of our natural groundwater recharge comes from the Cienega Creek Davidson Canyon watershed. So these are extremely important issues for the people and the wildlife of southern Arizona, and we're going to keep pressing to make sure that those issues are addressed.
So bottom line at this point, the two big hurdles for Rosemont would be the endangered species and the water issue.
Yeah, water, of course, is one of the most important issues to all of us, especially on a day like today when it's 110 degrees. But, they still have a Clean Water Act permit they have to get from the Army Corps of Engineers. That agency has already said that their mitigation plan is inadequate and falls way short of what's needed to compensate for the damage that the mine would do. There's also an aquifer protection permit under the State Department of Environmental Quality that is under appeal in Superior Court right now because of contamination issues. This is just the wrong project in the wrong place. And there's no way to really overcome these hurdles.
Randy Seraglio is with us, Center of Biological Diversity. Don wants to take issue with you, Randy, and you never shy away from a fight. Go ahead. Go ahead, Don.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well,
good.
Thanks.
Yeah, for the Center of Diversity, I'd like to know what the gentleman meant by the term tar baby.
Okay.
What I mean is, this is a very controversial project, the Rosemont project. It raises all kinds of air pollution and water pollution issues. It raises the issue of depleting our precious groundwater supply here in Tucson. There's just a lot of problems with this project, and it's really more trouble than it's worth. The limited economic benefits for our community are simply not worth the damage it would do to our public health and our economy.
And you say, Randy, I'll let you say it. When Rosemont says there are 400 primary jobs at stake, your opinion is talking about trade-offs.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a tiny, tiny drop in the bucket compared to the amount of economic benefit that is provided to our community by these mountain ranges just the way they are, through people coming here to visit our national forests and our national parks, to see the beautiful views that would be fouled by Rosemont's air pollution, to see the beautiful wildlife that would be killed by Rosemont Mine.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up right there as Randy Seraglio joins us from the Center for Biological Diversity. Randy, thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
All right, we have Don Luce, attorney at law, coming up next. We'll be talking with Don. He is the Buckmaster Show legal advisor. That is next on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Attorney Don Luce once a month joins us. We're always honored to have Attorney Don Luce with us of Luce Brown and Associates offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. Don Luce is the author of two very popular books about the law, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, and Arizona Laws 101, which is now in its second edition. And as the legislature continues to pass more and more laws, there'll probably be a third edition sometime in the future, I would think.
Probably. Bill, thanks for having me back.
Don, how are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
You were in the other room with Rose waiting to come on, and you heard Randy Seraglio of the Center for Biological Diversity talking about the situation with Rosemont. There are now two suits that have been filed. This is right now it's like the ball's in the legal court.
Well, at least with respect to these two suits, it is. And the interesting thing to me about this litigation is that one suit, which was filed by a group called Save the Scenic Santa Ritas, was filed in Maricopa County. The other lawsuit, which was filed by a retired scientist, Joel Fisher, is in Pima County. So you have two counties hearing, two courts in two counties hearing essentially the same arguments by two plaintiffs. Probably these suits will be consolidated at some point in time. But they've been recently filed, and what they're trying to do, these plaintiffs, is challenge the ADEQ's approval of the air permit, which was issued in early 2013. And so what they're saying essentially is that the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality didn't do its job properly, and that it ought not have approved the permit the way it did. In the Save the Scenic Santa Ritas lawsuit, the plaintiff contends that ADEQ failed to consider alleged flaws in Rosemont's computer model analysis that the group had pointed out. So, like we've seen with so many other controversial subjects, this is now in the courtroom, and state court judges are being asked to decide whether ADEQ did its job properly, and if it did so, then the judges will rule that the permits were properly issued. If one or both judges finds, however, that ADEQ didn't consider all of the evidence that it should have, then there is a chance that the process may be reopened and that the opening of the mine may be further delayed.
Let me ask you, this suit, as you point out, one filed in Maricopa County, the Save the Scenic Santa Rita suit, why file it up there? Is that because of the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, of course, being based at the Capitol? Is that
That's my take on it. In fact, I'm surprised that the other one was actually filed in Pima County. Typically, anytime you have a challenge to a state agency, it's filed in Maricopa County because that's the county in which the Capitol is located. Mm-hmm. The retired scientist, Joel Fisher of Green Valley, he filed his suit in Pima County. Nonetheless, if the suits involve the same issues, I would expect that they would be consolidated at some point so you don't have inconsistent results out of two separate courts.
These filings starting at Maricopa County Superior Court and in Pima County Superior Court, depending on outcomes, this can go up the legal ladder, I assume, right?
Yes. The next step would be the Arizona Court of Appeals, mm-hmm. which is a direct appeal from the Superior Court. And then after that, it would be asking the Arizona Supreme Court to accept jurisdiction and rule on the issue. Now, the appeal to the Arizona Court of Appeals is automatic. The Court of Appeals doesn't have the ability to say we're not interested in the subject matter. As long as the appeal is timely filed, the court will accept it. That's different, however, at the Supreme Court level. The Arizona Supreme Court does not have the obligation to accept an appeal just because a party to a lawsuit requests it to accept the appeal. The Supreme Court will look to see what the statewide importance of the issue might be and whether there are conflicting decisions at the lower court levels.
Okay, so that goes then to the appeals court automatically, depending on the decision. All of this buys time for the opponents of the mine.
Well, as long as there's litigation pending concerning the permitting, yes, it is likely to result in a delay in the opening of the mine if that's ultimately what's going to happen.
Don Luce is with us, attorney Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show contributor. Interesting story for those of us that live in the Catalina foothills concerning Skyline Country Club Estates, which has been a staple of the landmark of the real estate scene in the foothills for many, many years. Understand a homeowner, Don Luce, is now suing over a plan to force Skyline residents to save the country club.
Well, this lawsuit is brand new, and just by way of background, Skyline Country Club has been operating at a loss since 2007. So essentially for the last 7 years, the club hasn't been making any money. As a result, it defaulted on a loan with Northern Trust Bank last year and was at risk of foreclosure. So what the members did to try to appease the bank and turn things around is they brought in a third-party manager, Arnold Palmer Golf Management, and they signed a 25-year contract with the management company. Now, as part of that deal, however, the homeowners had to agree, and this is whether you're a member of the club or not, the homeowners had to agree to an annual fees increase that is progressive. So the amount of the increase next year will be more than the amount of the increase this year, and the amount of the increase the year after will be more than next year's. The plaintiff in the lawsuit that was just filed says, no, because this arrangement wasn't contemplated by our CC&Rs, which every homeowners association has, it required the unanimous approval of the owners, and it didn't have it. In fact, a majority of the owners agreed to the proposal, but not all of the owners. There were many owners who didn't feel that it was good for the community to essentially be subsidizing Skyline Country Club, and they voted against it. And the plaintiff in this action was one of the people who voted against it. And now what she's asking the Pima County Superior Court to do is to issue an order preventing the club from collecting the additional HOA fees from her and all of the other members. And she's saying this can't be done under our CC&Rs because it was never contemplated that we would essentially be subsidizing the country club, of which we are not members, and giving money to a third party, who in this case, of course, is the golf management company. Interesting case. I don't know how this one will turn out, but if it turns out that the court agrees with the plaintiff, then you have a real interesting situation for the members because, as I mentioned earlier, the club did sign a 25-year contract with the management company that is dependent upon an increase in the dues.
Well, of course, if you're a resident of the country club, Skyline Country Club Estates, you're very, very you want to know how this is all going to work out because, let's face it, the property values are at stake.
Well, that was the argument that the proponents of the measure made. They said, look, if the club is foreclosed on and this property sits vacant and that big building up on the hill is empty, your property values are going to plummet.
Yeah.
So it's in everyone's best interest to agree to a voluntary increase in our HOA dues and to bring in a management company to turn things around and make this a viable entity. And that's what a majority of the owners did. In exchange for the dues increase, the non-members got limited use of the club, and some other concessions were made so that even though they weren't members, they had some benefit from the dues increase. But the plaintiff in this lawsuit that was just filed says, well, that's nice, but our governing documents, the CC&Rs, don't allow us to do that without amending the CC&Rs, and that wasn't done, and therefore the action was improper.
And you cover a homeowner CCNRs in Arizona laws, 101.
Chapter 91 talks about homeowners associations, which, by the way, there are thousands of them across the state. These homeowners associations are nonprofit corporations or unincorporated associations created pursuant to what are known as CCNRs, Declaration of Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions. And these associations are designed to protect the value of the properties located within the association and to take such action as is necessary for the benefit of all of the owners. And that's what this lawsuit is about. Here we have an owner who's challenging an action that was taken by the association.
That's Don Luce, the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, information that all of us need, very simple to use information. Don's other book, very important, estate planning in Arizona. Don, hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Thank you, Culligan, for supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan. Tomorrow morning, wake up Tucson 6 to 8, the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. Our show, the Friday Focus interview, tomorrow at 12:04 with Michael Keith, Downtown Partnership CEO, and then for Tucson at 4, a new local talk show with Mike Shaw here at 4 o'clock on KVOI. Rose Brandt, producer, Bill Buckmaster, host. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.